thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your compassion towards us. Thank you, Father. Thank you for helping us when we were so helpless and hopeless. Thank you, Lord, for making impossible things possible in our lives. Thank you for helping our faith in you to grow. Thank you for replacing our weaknesses with your strength. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for pardoning our iniquities. Thank you for drawing us closer unto yourself. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for great plans you have for us. We thank you for glorious plans you have for us. And we thank you because these plans shall come to pass by your mighty hand. We thank you for all the truths and revelations you keep showing us and teaching us in this ministry. We thank you for how those truths are shaping our lives to look the way you want it to look. We thank you for the revival and transformation we have gotten through the revelation of your word. Thank you, Father. Oh Lord, we have come together at this time to learn at your feet, to learn your ways, to learn your mind. Father, speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. Let the subject of today's class be so clear that such that every one of us we will understand easily. Let today's teaching help as many that will listen. Let it change our lives. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered already. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And we are going to continue from where we stopped during the last class, which was last Tuesday. And you know, we have been looking at a broad topic that says, a building up a strong discerning spirit. Building up a strong discerning spirit. And we have come to part three of that. Title. Yeah, and the part three says the Holy Spirit and your spirit. So we are looking at, or we have been looking at, the connection and the relationship between the Holy Spirit and your own spirit. Yeah, and I've said so many things. For those of you who have missed the teachings I have done on this part, then you can get those teachings on the Telegram, on our Telegram platform. Just scroll down and you will get them. Yeah, you will get the audios right there. Yeah, so today we are looking at another point under the part three, which says, the Holy Spirit can turn your spirit into a territorial commander. Yeah, the Holy Spirit can turn your spirit into a territorial commander. Yeah, I'm going to explain what I mean by territorial commander or controller. Yeah, but let me remind you what I said earlier in the previous topics. Yeah, still under this teaching series, there was a time we had the Bible study class, and I was defining who a God is, as in a God with small letter G. You know, we have the Almighty God, and many of us, we use capital letter G to write his name, God. Yeah, but then I said that we need to understand the meaning of a God as a small letter G in the kingdom of God. Do we have gods in the kingdom of God? And if the answer is yes, then who are those gods? And what does it mean to be a God in God's kingdom? To be a God as in small letter G, God. What does it mean to be a God? Just as some people claim they worship gods and goddesses. Yeah, now do we have similar things in the kingdom of God? Yeah, and I remember at that time I said something about who a God is. Yeah, I'm going to read what I said that time. I don't know if some of you jot it down, but I'll read it from here. I said, a God in God's kingdom refers to someone who has been given power, authority, and dominion to carry out an assignment, and to do the assignment as though he is God, as though he is the Almighty God. Yeah, so a God in God's kingdom refers to someone who has been given power, authority, and dominion to carry out an assignment on earth, and to do the assignment as though God is doing it himself on earth. Yeah. So now, here we are looking at, or we are talking about, the fact that the Holy Spirit can turn your spirit into a territorial commander. So an example of a territorial commander is a God. Yeah. But this time around, we are not talking about those idols people worship. We're not talking about those goddesses, gods that people worship and sacrifice to. But we are talking about you and I, children of God. You and I are getting authority and power from God to dominate territories here on earth, to claim territories for God. Yeah, and to be able to do assignments for God, to do it exactly how God would do them if he were to come in the flesh as a human being. Yeah, so that is what we are talking about. So I'm not talking about you becoming a personality that people start worshiping or bowing down to. That is not how the concept of God works in the kingdom of God. As in the concept of small letter G, God. That's not how it works in God's kingdom. I already told you how it works. So now we are talking about you being transformed into a personality that controls territories. So meaning that you are able to determine what should happen in your environment, in your community, in your village, in your cities, in your place of work, in your country, yeah, even in your continent, you are able to determine what should happen and what should not happen, even without having show yourself. I mean, even without showing yourself in the public, you're able to control the situations and events going on in the earth. That is what gods do. All those demonic beings that we call principalities and powers, as we have them in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10. Principalities, rulers, next in high places. They are gods in the sense that they control the affairs of the world. They even control the thoughts of people. They control the mind of people. So they make people do what they wouldn't have done or what they don't even want to do. Yeah. And that was why Satan could tell Jesus. Satan could tell Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. I think that was where he was tempted by Satan. He said, if you can bow down and worship me, I will give you all the kingdoms of this world. Yeah, I believe you have read that place before. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, and verse 9. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 and verse 9. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Yeah. If Satan cannot actually actually do that. He wouldn't say a will. He will give Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. If he can't do it, he wouldn't say. Yeah, in the spiritual realms, you don't lie. So Satan can actually give Jesus. You know, when, as in that passage, when Jesus was being tested by him, Satan could actually give Jesus all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. Yeah. So to show you that the forces controlling the world is beyond human beings. The forces controlling the world and their fears on earth, they are spiritual forces. They are spiritual beings. Yeah, they are not physical beings. Yeah, though you might look at the president of your country and say, oh, he's a human being. He's not Satan. So why does the Bible say Satan is the god of this world? Well, my president is not Satan. He's a human being. Or you look at your governors and other people in the parliament. And then you feel like they are all human beings. So why is the Bible so confused? Why is the Bible saying that Satan is the one ruling the world? Well, the Bible is not confused because the truth remains that the affairs of this world is not being controlled by humans. It is being controlled by spiritual forces, whether you believe or not. Yeah. So those humans you see on the government seats, government offices, or those kings you see on their thrones, they are not the one ruling. There is a spirit, there's a force that is ruling them. Yeah, there's a spirit, there's a force that is ruling them. So that is why Satan was able to tell Jesus that you just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of these things you are saying. All the billions of money, beautiful houses. Just bow down and worship me. I will give you all of them. And of course, we have people on here today who already sold their souls to Satan. And they have all of these beautiful things. In fact, some of them, they are richer than the richest man on earth because Satan give them everything they needed. The money, the houses, too much properties. Yeah, they have too much money, uncountable money, because Satan controls even the wealth of this world. Yeah, so this is just by the way. Now, my point is that the Holy Spirit can change you into a territorial commander. The Holy Spirit can change you into a God that is also able to control the affairs of this world. So you'll be able to do the same thing principalities are doing today as in principalities of darkness. You as a Christian, by the Holy Spirit working in your spirit, or working through your spirit, you can also do what the principalities and powers are doing. Yeah. If they control the affairs of the world, you can also control the affairs of the world. Yeah. I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, the only difference is that you are going to be controlling the affairs of the world to align with the will of God. Yeah, that's the only difference. Yeah. And you will do these things on your knees. On your knees. In the place of prayer. That is where you control the affairs of your environment. That is where you determine what should happen and what should not happen. Yeah, I'm going to give you examples from the scriptures. Yeah. So that you will know that as a Christian, you have too much power. Too much power inside of you. Yeah. But it's unfortunate that many Christians don't use that power. Some don't even get a chance to use it before they die. Yeah. Now, let's look at the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 12. 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 12. And Elisha saw it and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now, there are just two things I want to bring us from that, from this verse I have just read. Elisha saw Elijah being taken up into heaven by a wild wind plus a chariot of fire. And he shouted, "My father, my father." Of Israel. Yeah, it's a title of a territorial commander. Those words, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof, is a title of a territorial commander. Yeah, because Elijah saw how Elijah was the one controlling the affairs of Israel. Though there was a king in Israel, but Elijah was a king above the king of Israel. Yeah, I'm not saying Elijah is the King of Kings. We know only Jesus have that title. But Elijah was a higher king. Yeah, a king higher than the King of Israel. And we saw many things he did that proves that. how the king sent soldiers to go and arrest them. And he looked at those men, he said, if I be a man of God, let fire fall from heaven and consume all of you. And fire came down literally from heaven and consumed them all. So to the point that the king was afraid of him. So this is a man who shut down the heavens. And he told the king, he said, except I come back and change my world, there shall not, rain shall not fall on this land anymore. And rain did not fall until he came back and told them rain will fall. So that is a territorial commander. So the spirit of Elijah has changed into a god such that you could do certain assignments for God as though he is the Almighty God. So he could do things. Not that he could do, he could believe that God will do certain things. There's a difference between you believing that God will do something and you doing that thing that God would have, that God would do if he was here physically. Like you doing things for God is different from you believing that God will do something. I don't know if you understand. You can pray and trust God that God will do something for you. And then God send his angels or God release his power. And then God do that thing. But then there's another level whereby your spirit is the one doing the thing for God. In the from the realm of the spirit to the physical realm. Like your spirit is the one doing those things. Just as God will send angels to answer prayers on earth. So now your spirit is the one answering prayers. Are you getting it now? Yeah. So now your spirit is the one doing the things that God wants to happen in the land. So that is what I mean by a territorial commander. And that was the manner of man Elijah was. Yeah. So he was able to control the affairs of the land by his spirit or by authority God has given him. Yeah, so let's look at 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. You will see how Elisha also become a territorial commander. Elijah was doing that, but and then he did it for some time. He was taken up to heaven. Then his disciple, Elisha, took over the same title. Yeah, let's look at 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Now, Elisha was falling sick of his sickness. Yeah, now Elisha was falling sick of his sickness whereof he died. So meaning that that was the sickness that killed him eventually. But at this time, he has not yet died. Yeah, but that's not where I'm going. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." So you can see that this title was given to Elijah. And now, the same is now, or maybe I should say, Elijah is now carrying the same title. Yeah, and this is a king, a whole king of Israel, bowing down to a man of God and calling him my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. Yeah, because he know that I might be a king, I might be sitting on my throne, ruling all the tribes of Israel, all the towns, cities of Israel. But he knows that he has limits. He knows that there is someone, he knows that Elisha is higher than him in authority. So that is what I'm talking about. So if you, as a believer, can really walk with God, can really walk with the Holy Spirit, to the point where God can trust you with his union and authority, then you will be able to take nations for him. Yeah, such that even kings of nations, presidents of nations, rulers of nations will bow before you and say, "My father, my father." Yeah, I'm not saying this to put pride in you. Yeah, but I'm saying this to show you that there is so much that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. But many of us are not walking in those things. We are not operating in those realms. Yeah, we are not. We are not functioning in those dominions and authority that has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now, mind you, this is Old Testament. And Jesus told the people, he said, of all the prophets that have ruled in the earth, or all the prophets that have been born in the earth, Jesus said, none of them is greater than John the Baptist. And then Jesus said that even that John the Baptist, that is greater than all the prophets, including Daniel, Samuel, Elisha, Elijah. Jesus said the ministry of John the Baptist is greater than all of them. And then Jesus said even that John the Baptist is not up to you and I in authority and dominion. Have you read that in your Bible? Jesus said that the least in the kingdom of God, meaning that even the person that is just newly converted, as in a new convert, someone who is newly converted to Christianity, He is greater than Elijah. That's what Jesus meant by the least. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. So if John the Baptist is greater than Elisha and Elijah, then someone that just gave his or life to Christ today is greater than both John the Baptist in dominion, in power, in authority, and also greater than Elisha, greater than Elijah. Have you, what I'm saying here, have you read it in your Bible? Yeah, because some of you might be like, what am I saying? Am I talking reality, or I'm talking in parables? Yeah, if you look at Luke chapter 7, verse 28. Luke chapter 7, verse 28. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. This is Jesus talking. And I would believe the testimony of Jesus than any other person on earth or in the Bible. Yeah. Jesus said, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Yeah. So the least person, the least person among us Christians today, maybe someone that gave his or life to Christ maybe yesterday or last week, Jesus said that person is greater than John the Baptist, greater than Elijah, greater than Elisha, greater than Daniel, greater than Samuel, all those powerful prophets in the Old Testament. Jesus said, the least among us is greater than those people. Then where is our greatness? Yeah, because I begin to question many things going on in our generation. I saw the greatness of God that was displayed and demonstrated through Elijah and Elisha. And I begin to ask questions like, how many of us Christians today have even been able to manifest 20% of that greatness? Yet Jesus said, the least among us is greater than those people. Then I begin to question, was Jesus trying to deceive us? Yeah, but I know Jesus was saying the truth. We are the ones who have failed God in our generation. We are the ones who have forsaken God, who have turned against Him. So we are the ones who have refused to obey Him and follow Him in His ways. So many of us try to follow God in our own ways and not follow Him in His own ways. Yeah. Because we care much about our own will and desires than His own will and desires. So God was able to trust those men of old. He was able to trust them so much that He gave them power and authority and transformation. Yeah, when I was reading about Prophet Samuel in the scripture, I saw some very shocking things that man of God did. Yeah, very shocking things. Yeah, there was a time he told the people, he said, okay, I'm going to pray now for rain to fall, to prove to you people that I can't fully remember that account, but I know he said he's going to pray for rain to fall to prove to them that he's a man of God, and that everything God has sent him to do, they should believe. And he just prayed. I'm talking about Samuel in the Bible. He just prayed some very few prayers. And immediately all the clouds in the sky became dark. And it began to rain heavily. Yeah. So I was like, so this is for real, that just someone like me would just say, all right, I'm going to pray that something should happen now. To show you people that to show you people that God has sent me. And he just prayed short prayer, and even the clouds of the sky changed, and rain began to fall immediately. And that is Old Testament, not New Testament, Old Testament. And there was even a time that King Saul sent people to go and arrest someone. Yeah. And the Bible told us that those soldiers, as they were approaching the house of Samuel, the Spirit would just come upon them and they would start prophesying. They were going to arrest Samuel, but as they draw closer to the place Samuel was living, there is a power that would just come upon them and take over their mind. So it's more like they ran mad, temporary madness. Though they were not speaking nonsense, they were just prophesying and praising God. And they could not stop themselves from doing that. So there was an atmosphere in the house where Samuel was living that was able to arrest the enemy that came to him, and even turned the enemy into a friend, though temporarily. To the point that even Saul had to calm himself, because he had sent many of his soldiers, even the best of his soldiers, to arrest the man of God. And they could not succeed. So King Saul had to calm himself. And even when he came there also, the Spirit of God arrested him. He was also prophesying. And that was how they could not succeed. So eventually they humbled themselves and they went back to where they came from. Yeah, that is what I mean by a territorial commander. So the Holy Ghost is able to turn your spirit into a territorial commander if you are ready to walk with him for that kind of transformation. Yeah, if you are actually ready to seek him and pray and wait on him, that he would change you into that person, then he is able to do that. Yeah, he is able to do that. Let us look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5. Yeah, our time would not permit me. I would have talked about many great men of God in the Old Testament, like Daniel, a whole king, Nebuchadnezzar, bowed down before Daniel. even in a foreign land. This is not Israel, because you might say, well, all these miracles happened because they were in Israel. But these men were not in Israel. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were not in Israel. They were in a Gentile land, in a foreign nation. And yet, they were still able to command that territory. They were able to control that territory. So we have many examples in the Bible. Yeah. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 16. Yeah, I read, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Yeah, one of the reasons why we must let the Holy Ghost give us this promotion and transformation and empowerment and elevation, spiritual elevation, is because the days we live now are evil. We are living in the evil days. So all the days, including today, have been programmed for evil by the powers and forces of darkness. Every day on earth have been programmed for evil. So a lot of sacrifices and rituals have been done and are being done every hour to ensure certain evils continue to prevail over mankind on daily basis, or maybe I should say, on hourly basis. Yeah. So a lot is going on the other side, in the invisible and spiritual realms, to ensure that evil and wickedness prevail in this dimension, in this physical dimension. And then you are just eating and drinking. You're not doing anything about it. You're just smiling. And that is even if you're smiling. Yeah, because many Christians are not even happy. Devil have spoiled a lot of good things in their lives. Devil have spoiled their joy, their joys. Yeah. And they keep complaining. They keep complaining and murmuring. Why is this happening to me? Why is that happening to me? Why is witchcraft everywhere? What did I do to them? Did I offend them? Witchcraft here, witchcraft there. They are troubling my life. Why am I so poor? And they keep complaining and complaining. When God is saying, take over, take control, take charge, command your territory. God is telling you, command your territory, control your territory. And you are complaining. Oh, the government is not doing well. The government have failed its citizens. Why are we suffering like this? You just sit down and keep complaining. When God is saying, command your territory. Yeah. So the days we live are evil. And if you are not ready to pray and take charge over your environment, then you will be their prey. You will be their victim. Yeah. they will not let you rise. Yeah. They will keep you in their captivity and control. You will just discover that you can hardly survive and breathe. And what do I mean by that? You just discover that you're always weak spiritually. You can't pray anymore, you can't fast anymore, you can't study the scriptures, you can't meditate on the scriptures. Yeah, it means they are not allowing you to breathe and survive spiritually. Even you can't overcome, you will just discover that you can't or you can no longer overcome temptations. You can no longer overcome sins. Yeah, things that you don't do before. You just find yourself easily doing them. The kind of things you don't commit before, you just find yourself now committing them. Why? Because you have not taken your place in Christ, which is the place of dominion, the place of commanding your territory. Yeah. Apart from your own flesh, your own Adamic nature, pulling you into darkness, there is also a great darkness outside, in the air, a great darkness in the air, a great darkness on the ground, in the waters, in your environment, that don't want you to live right and to be holy. Yeah, I was telling some people some time ago, I said, any Christian from Africa or Nigeria, I was actually talking about Nigerian Christians and Nigerian ministers of God, how they traveled abroad and became worse. They traveled to Europe and America, and they became worse. Yeah. So I was telling them that if they cannot subdue the darkness that is prevailing here in Nigeria, and they should not try to say God has sent them to America or Europe. Yeah, because the darkness in those places is far greater than the one here in Africa. Because here in Africa, we still have many people praying and crying out to God. But in those other places, many of their cities have been completely taken over by Satan. Now, that is just by the way. So my point is that we must take over the time. We must redeem the time. Redeeming the time means that you are not allowing what would happen. You are not allowing it to happen. What would have happened if you decide to do nothing? You are doing something to ensure that it did not happen or it doesn't happen. That is what redeeming the time means. So which means that we can do something as Christians to stop or terminate the trend of evils that is happening in our world. We can do something. So we can redeem the time. We can change the course of time through prayers. We can change the course of time. Yeah, I'm talking about something that is real. Something that is very real. Yeah, there are many things that should have happened to me. But I changed the course of time. I remember there was a time that I was in my room and then an angel of death came and stood at the door of my room. And the angel stood there for a very long time. I wasn't aware, but the Lord began to speak to me that there's an angel of death in you at the door. Yeah, I was like, why is the angel of death at my door? He said, because there was someone that should have died, which you prayed, and you canceled death. I don't even know how to say. Like, there's someone that should have died, and then I prayed, and the person was able to not die. So when the angel of death went to the person, he saw me covering the person. And he couldn't touch the person. So the angel now came to me that he's standing in the gap. Yeah. And want to attack me. I'm just giving you a summary. It's deeper than that. Yeah. But eventually, God prevailed. And we won. Yeah. We won. At least I'm alive today. I'm still alive. Yeah. So my point is that we can stop many things from happening. Many things. Many things. Yeah. Let me read Psalm 82 verse 6. Psalm 82 verse 6. Yeah, many of you already know this verse. It says, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So that is what gods do. They take dominion. They take control. And then let's read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. God has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we know that Jesus is above principalities and powers and all darkness and dominions and thrones. So if we are sitting together in Him, then it means we are also above everything Jesus is above. You know, when I started this teaching, I told you about how Satan tempted Jesus and told him he's going to give him all the kingdoms of this world and all the glory thereof if Jesus would bow down and worship him. Yeah, but Jesus refused to do that. Why? Because Jesus knew that by the time he's done with his mission, that he's actually going to be highly exalted. far above the dominion of Satan over the earth and over the people. Yeah, so the Bible told us that Jesus was looking at the glory that was before him. And because of that, he endured the cross. Yeah, because he knew that he is going to ascend to a place that all the principalities could not reach. And he knew that from that place, he would be able to control all the affairs of the world. Yeah, so as I'm talking to you right now, Satan is not the God of this world. He's only the God. He's only a God to those people that have surrendered to him. But to us Christians, he's no longer the God of this world. Yeah. Jesus is now the God of this world. And Jesus is able to determine what should happen and what should not happen. So that title, the God of this world, is only applied to those that have surrendered to Satan. So Satan is the God of those that have surrendered to him. Those that are walking in the flesh. Those that are in darkness. Satan is still their God. But for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, Satan dare not touch us. Yeah, because we are now above him. Let me show you what I'm talking about. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 9-11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is that every tongue, including the tongue of Satan and his host? So they have to confess, whether they like it or not, their necks have been broken. Their authority have been taken away. Yeah, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So Jesus is now the God of this world. And he wants to make you and I a God. Yeah, he wants to give us territories to rule over. Yeah. Or maybe you are still doubting. Is it true? It is true. Even demons, they know that what Jesus did completely broke their control and authority over mankind and over the earth. They knew. They knew. Even Satan knew that there is no match to hearing the name of Jesus. There was an agent of Satan that have gone deep in Satanism, to the point that he and Satan used to do meetings together in their worlds. So he used to leave this realm and go into the demonic worlds to do meetings with Satan, as in he will leave this realm with his body. Not that he will go in the spirit as witches used to go in the spirit. This one will walk alive. He will walk alive into the realm of darkness. Meaning that he will physically disappear from this realm to have meetings with Satan in his realm. Yeah. So he said there was a time they were in meeting, they were in one of those meetings with Satan. And he was telling Satan that there is this guy that is causing a lot of trouble for us. And he's really making our operations difficult. You know, Satan used to send them on missions and assignments. So he was telling Satan that this guy is making a lot of our work difficult. We can't really operate as we should. We can't attack people, afflict them, oppress them as we normally do. And Satan was curious. So which guy is that? And the man said, it's Jesus. So immediately, immediately that man said Jesus. He said Satan just fell from where he was sitting down. He just fell on the ground from where he was sitting down. He said he was shocked. And by the time Satan rose up, he said, if you dare call that name here, I will slaughter you in pieces. But yeah. So to show you that they are no match to Jesus. All of them. All of them. Satan, principalities, powers. Now tell me, who is the God of this world? Do you still think it's Satan? Of course not. Yeah. I'm not a fool. It's not Satan. It's Jesus. Yeah. It's Jesus. Yeah. But if the God of this world is still oppressing you, as in if Satan, which is the God of those people that are still serving him, if he's still oppressing you, it's because you have not claimed your place in Jesus. It's because you don't really believe in Jesus. Yeah. Or you are not really living the life that Jesus has called you to live. Any of those would be the reasons. Yeah. So that is what God is saying to you at this time. Yeah. He's saying that he wants to make you rule over your oppressors. He wants to make you oppress your oppressors. He wants to make you control those that are controlling you. Yeah, he wants to turn you into a territorial commander. And you don't have to be an apostle to do that. You just have to be a Christian that is enlightened and that know who he is or who she is. That is all. Yeah. I pray that all these things I have said, I pray they produce great fruits in your life. I pray they produce great results in your life. I pray I would not do all of these things in vain, all of these teachings in vain. I pray that you will take this message serious and take your place in God and take your place in Christ. Yeah, so I'm going to stop here. Okay, there is something I should also mention, but can talk about it next week, but it's something I have talked about before. If you are the type that is to follow my teachings, so I might talk about it next week and I might decide not to, because some of you should already know that thing if you have been following my teachings. And let us pray. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. And Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for showing us the greatness of who you are in us and in the earth and in every realm, whether visible or invisible. Thank you for showing us how you have conquered all the realms and how you hold in your hands the keys that controls all the realms in the earth, even all realities. Thank you, Father. And thank you for showing us that you are willing to share that authority with us, such that we are able to redeem the time and control the time. Thank you, Lord. I ask, O Lord, that you help us to rise and take our place in you. Help us to do this in Jesus' name. I pray for you that that the Lord will help you in such a way that you become a territorial commander. I pray that the Lord will empower you and anoint you in such a way that you become a territorial controller, starting from your own family and community, that you'll be able to begin to determine what should happen and what should not happen, as in as much as they align with the will of God. I pray that God help you to attain this level of authority and dominion in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen.